This is Christian Questions.
Fred, there you go. Virgil once said, "Love conquers all things. Let us surrender to love." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. We're here to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking, meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. As always, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through Him, there is one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity in understanding this one truth.
Well, we are not here to teach. We are here to seriously provoke your thinking, according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, and let us reason together." And this provoking is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
If you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel mug, here's what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net. Today is May 22nd, 2010. May 2nd, 2010. Thank you. All audio and printed material are copyrighted and are the property of Christian Questions.
Now, look, I know you weren't here last week, but it's not been that long. So on behalf of Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning.
And Fred, the man behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Isn't it great to hear Fred's voice again?
It is.
He's been out not feeling quite well the last few weeks. Fred, we're glad you're back.
It's good to be back.
Thanks. Anyway, on behalf of Jonathan and Fred, we want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So, Jonathan, I know you weren't here last week, but what was our topic? What was our discussion?
Well, something you weren't supposed to talk about. How should a Christian view politics? Hey, wait, what is that?
See? You're gone for a week and see what happens?
With guest Len Grice.
Right. And I was actually out of the studio in Pennsylvania with Len, and we were talking about politics and a Christian's view. Now, we didn't discuss politics. We didn't discuss parties and all of those kinds of things. What we discussed is a Christian principled look at politics and should there be involvement, should there not be involvement, how much, how little. Very, very stimulating conversation. So we thank Len for participating with us last week. This week, though, very, very different. What is our subject for this week?
Our question is, how do we cope with personal loss? And our theme text is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted."
We are dealing with looking at coping with personal loss, specifically death. Jonathan, death is a scourge upon us all. It is the unwelcome intruder in our lives, the greedy associates, the uncaring and undiscriminating presence that is uninvited, unwanted, and always inconvenient. Death is the rude interrupter of our lives. What's worse, it leaves a mark when it has passed through. After it leaves, we are left empty, sad, mournful, and distressed. This unwelcomed guest, death, it visits all of us no matter what our station is in life. If we are poor, wealthy, popular, unnoticed, young or old, we all have experience with death. So, how do we deal with it? How do we cope with the pain and the loss? Stay with us this morning as we examine the sad and difficult reality of our lives, death, loss, and the healing process. So, tough discussion this morning.
That's for sure. Well, Rick, we only have one question for the program this morning, and that's, how do we cope with personal loss?
And, Jonathan, we are going to be focusing on dealing with the loss of a loved one. And let's put this in context for a moment. The reason we're doing this is there have been, over the last couple of months, a barrage of individuals we know who have passed away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we actually, you had called me on Monday and said, you know, all of this is going on. What about? And it really clicked. And so here we are discussing it. And I wanted to just at the beginning at least mention at least the first names of some of those who have passed away and why this is so important to us right now. And folks, we're going to be looking for your input on coping with loss, perhaps some of your personal experiences, some of the difficulties, some of the triumphs, some of the ways you were able to deal with it. Those things would be extremely helpful. You can call us toll free at 866-985-4255. Again, toll free, 866-985-4-ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, which means we are on right now. So give us a call and let us know your thoughts on coping with personal loss. Jonathan, we've seen and experienced loss over the last couple of months, a few months, from a number of standpoints. First of all, the loss of a spouse. I was down visiting in the Delaware Valley area last Sunday for a Bible conference. And down in that area, there were two senior members of the congregation there that passed away. You remember George Eldridge?
Yes, I do.
He actually did a program with us many years ago. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful example of Christianity. He passed away. Another senior member, Walter Osterman, also passed away. And did you know him well?
No.
See,
no.
I didn't know him as well as I knew Brother George, but Brother Walter was one of those individuals who was very deeply, deeply dedicated and motivated by the plan of God. And just a wonderful, wonderful example. Suffered for a long time and eventually passed away. And they left behind spouses. Also in that area, another member of that congregation, Marcia, lost her daughter, Kim. Now, Kim was only, I think, 48 or 49 years old, and she passed away. So we have the loss of spouse. We have loss of a child, which is a very, very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
In this area, we also had another loss recently, that of Art.
Art, yeah.
And you knew Art very well.
Yes, I did.
And again, a wonderful, wonderful example, wasn't he?
He was.
He had one of those characters he was gentle.
Absolutly.
I think that's a great
it
word
is.
To describe
it is.
Him.
Perfect.
Gentle. And then really one of the key motivating factors was the passing away of Paula Ashley. Now, she doesn't live in the area. She lives in Ohio. And she is younger than myself. I think she was 48 or 49.
49, yeah.
And leaves behind a husband and two daughters, Rachel and Gabrielle. And so we have loss of a mother here. We have loss of a spouse. We have loss of a child. In these different experiences. And so this was it's eye-opening. And you say, some of these losses I haven't had any experience with. Matter of fact, I haven't lost a spouse. I haven't lost a child. I haven't lost a mother. I haven't had any experience with any of these specifically.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so in looking at this, you say, wow, this is difficult. What can you do? And isn't that the reaction we often have?
It is.
What can we do to help? What can we do to be a part of the healing process?
What can we say?
Right. What do you say? What do you do? And so we wanted to spend the program talking about those kinds of things. And we'll get back to talking about some of these individuals through the program a little bit. But that's the reason. That's why we're here this morning talking about this. And it can be a frustrating and almost depressing subject from some standpoints. But, folks, this is an opportunity to put in place the encouragement that is not just for a moment, but that can be for the duration to really, really help. So, again, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4-ALL. So, Jonathan, as we begin this, how do we cope with personal loss? Let's go over a couple of points of context. First, death was not part of the original design for mankind. We know this because the scriptures tell us.
That's right. We find that in Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
So Adam was put there, and the plan was for life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. And he said, here are the things, here's the tests of obedience. And, of course, we know that the test was failed, and so death enters the situation. So death is not a natural beginning part of human nature. the way human nature was in a perfect state.
Right.
It didn't belong, and that's one of the reasons it's such a difficult part of our lives now, because it really doesn't belong. Who wants it?
Nobody.
Right. Second point of context is mourning and respect for those who have died is a basic human reaction. And we've got loads of scriptures on this. We won't only go into a few, but let's just get a picture of this.
Genesis 23, 1 through 4. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight.
And he ends up paying for the property, and because it says, you know, it sounds like he's saying, well, give me this property. And he pays actually top dollar for the property. But you can see that he is mourning the death of his wife, and he wept for her. And so it's something that's very, very important, very common, and it's good, as we will see. Mourning is a good thing because it serves a very, very important purpose. Let's take a look at another account of mourning. This is King David mourning over Abner, who was once an enemy of his, being a protector of the house of King Saul, who eventually turned to be his ally, though he wasn't an ally for very long before he was murdered.
2 Samuel 3, 31 through 34. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, gird yourselves with sackcloth, and mourn for Abner. And King David followed the coffin. So they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. Then all the people wept over him again.
So, again, you have this man who was on the opposite side of David for many years, who eventually turned to be an ally, was actually murdered by one of David's men, and he weeps over him. And you can see that he's telling others to tear your clothes, gird yourselves in sackcloth. So there's a sense of bringing personal discomfort to yourself to exhibit the heartbreak that you are feeling at the loss of this individual. Jonathan, let's look at one other example of mourning, and this is Job and his three friends.
Job 2:11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, but for them he had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him, to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
So think about this. They're going, they're entering into the experience, and they sit down on the ground alongside of him. They don't speak a word for a week because they're just going to enter in to the pain and suffering of their friend.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Our subject this morning, how do we cope with personal loss? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL.
And Jonathan, in the first segment, we were looking at examples of mourning in the Old Testament. And obviously, mourning has always played a clear scriptural role, and is an important process. So what does that mean for us? How do we put this in the context of our present day? Because people don't do sackcloth and ashes anymore.
No, they don't.
They especially in this country, we're very, very different. Our discussion to follow will be from the perspective of one who suffered loss, as well as from the perspective of one who is close to those who has suffered loss. And I think that's an important part of this whole process, is understanding that As I mentioned before, I have not suffered the loss that we were talking about of a husband or of a spouse.
Me neither.
Okay? I haven't suffered the loss of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't suffered the loss of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, how do I be a better friend in these circumstances? We're going to start with just pieces of an article from personaldevelopment.suite101.com. And if you want more information on that, subscribe to CQ Rewind, and you can get that. The article is entitled Coping with Death, How to Handle the Death of a Loved One and Move Forward, from January 29, 2008, by Scott Mays. We're going to be reading parts of that particular article. So, Jonathan, let's just get started with a couple of parts here, then we'll go to the phones.
How do you cope with the loss of a loved one? So, you've lost a spouse, mother, father, child, or sibling, and you're feeling numb. What do you do next? In both the short term and the long term, will have a direct impact on your mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. It can make the difference between long days of depression and a manageable lifestyle in the days and years ahead.
So you have this sense of loss and feeling numb. And the first point, we'll just bring it up and then we'll go to the phones. The first point is cry for your loss.
Don't buy into the myth, especially if you're a guy, that you have to act a certain way. It is natural to cry. And listen to this. It is necessary to cry.
There's an old expression that says, crying is pain leaving the body. And I when I read that, I thought, wow, that's pretty profound. And the article says there's a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, let's go to the phones, and we have Randall from East Lyme, Connecticut. Good morning, Randall.
Good morning, guys. Happy Sunday.
To you, too.
I just wanted to say something before I jump into my scripture about what you said, Rick. I want people to know you never regret the phone call that you made. You always regret the phone call that you did not.
Well said.
And so you have people in your life who you love. Keep in contact with them, because that bushel of flowers on the coffin does not do anything. You calling them now, today, does.
Right.
Okay, and we got Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. And the point there is the hope. And I have an English philosopher here that I don't really know anything about. I just love the quote. He loses nothing who keeps God for his friend. And so my point is, and I'm not being lighthearted about this, because you guys know I took care of my mother while she slowly suffocated to death for 5 years. And at the moment of her death, I held her, and she blessed herself, and she prayed the Hail Mary, and she said, "Help me, God." And she died at peace with God. And I have a friend who shot himself on his wife's grave. I have my friend who died of meningitis within a month. I mean, these are not easy things. But all I can say is that the gift of hope is what opens your heart to the gift of faith. Because you can have hope, but faith is a gift from God. So to lose hope in God is the greatest loss of all.
Randall, very well said. A lot of difficult experiences. We appreciate your willingness to share them with us.
All right. I love you guys. You take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I really like what he said at the end there. The gift of hope opens your heart to the gift of faith. And obviously he went through some personal experiences from different standpoints, the loss of a friend, friends, plural in his case, the loss of a parent. And I think the important thing, one of the things that he brought up, was getting to a point of being at peace with God. Everybody doesn't have a chance to do that, though.
You're right.
In your own, and not to put you on the spot, but mm-hmm. in your own personal experience, you lost your sister a number of years ago.
That's right.
In a car accident.
Yep.
And there's no time to make your peace, so to speak, is there?
No, there isn't.
And so you just have to deal with the difficulties and that loss. And that's a wrenching loss because it's so unexpected.
That's right, especially for the parents. The loss of a child is so deep.
And it doesn't matter how old that child is, does it?
No.
Even if that child is a full-grown adult
That's right.
Their own.
That's right.
Still, it is a very, very traumatic thing. So, folks, we're talking about a very, very important subject that affects us all. And we want to look at it and try to find ways to better cope, to better contribute to those who are coping. So if you have a thought, let us know, 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, which means we are on right now. Jonathan, one brief paragraph from McClintock and Strong's Encyclopedia of the Bible under the heading of mourn.
Weeping appears either as one chief expression of mourning or as the general name for it. Hence, when Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, was buried at Bethel under an oak, the tree was then at least called the Oak of Weeping. The children of Israel were heard to weep by Moses throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. So numerous are the references to tears in the scriptures as to give the impression that the Orientals had them nearly at command. The woman washed our Lord's feet with her tears. Men as well as women wept freely and even aloud. Lifted up his voice and wept is an ordinary mode of expression. Giving vent to them is well known to be one of the physical alleviations of profound sorrow.
And that last line you just read, giving vent to them is well known to be one of the physical alleviations of profound sorrow, fits in line with the line from the article we just read, crying is pain leaving the body.
Yes.
And so part of coping is
let it out.
Yeah, it's
let
okay
it
to cry. And yep. And I remember, this is a tough subject because you start to remember memorial services and things and all of that. I remember a memorial service that we had a number of years ago when our friend Victor lost his daughter.
Mm.
And at the beginning of the memorial service, one of the announcements was, and she was only 9 years old, and he was in this country, she was in Nigeria. One of the announcements at the beginning of the service was, tears are welcome here. And it's just such an important thing. It's okay, because it is sad, it is heartbreaking, and we want to help. So one of the things we can do to help is to mourn with them. We saw that with Job's friends. Now, his friends didn't end up doing a very good job mourning after those
after
7 days.
That's right.
But they started off really well. But let's just take a quick look at, read the theme text again.
Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
And now let's look at Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. And we won't discuss this one right now because we're going to come back to it later.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God.
Now here's the real important part of this.
To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord is to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up from the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations.
And we will come back and talk about this text later, but it talks about comforting those who mourn and to replace the hard experience with something good, with something glad, with something, as Randall said, something hopeful. So that is a great gift that we can look for in the morning. So one of the things we can do to help is to mourn with them and to mourn unabashedly with them. Another thing we can do is to offer up our empathy. And Jonathan, we were talking before the program about sympathy and empathy.
That's right.
And the difference between the two, just to state it before we get into it, sympathy is you broke your leg and
right.
I'd broken my leg once before. I can sympathize with you.
Because you've been there.
We've had the same experience.
Gotcha.
Empathy is you broke your leg. Now I've never broken a bone, but I feel bad for you.
Right.
And I want to be helpful to you. And
they're both a good thing.
Right. But the point is, even if you haven't had the experience that someone else is having, doesn't mean you can't get involved with them and empathize and walk by their side and hold them up and encourage them. A few scriptures on that.
Hebrews 4:14-16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So Jesus was tested along the same lines we are,
mm-hmm.
yet not with necessarily the exact same tests that we've gone through.
Right.
But he can feel for our pain, and that's the point. And so we can rely upon him. Randall quoted Romans 12:12. Let's look at Romans 12:14-16.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are.
So, again, this scripture covers a lot of things, but we want to focus on where it says weep with those who weep. One of the instinctive reactions we may have when someone is crying is to say, oh, don't cry. And sometimes, oh, do cry.
Right.
And let me cry with you.
Yes.
And
it's a better response.
Yeah, it is.
Like that.
It's harder.
It is.
It's harder because then you sort of take down the wall of protection you've put up.
It's humbling.
It is. But it's sometimes so necessary to just be able to share in the sorrow, to empathize or to sympathize, whichever you can mm-hmm. actually mm-hmm. enter into. One more scripture along these lines.
2 Corinthians 11:28-29. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation?
So the apostle is talking about his ability to empathize, to enter into the experiences of those that he was caring for. And he had this deep desire to hold them up by sharing in their experiences. And that's a powerful, powerful message. What can we do to help when those we know who are crying for the loss? We can cry with them. We can empathize or sympathize. True empathy can only be attained through a humble spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Without humility, we'll be continually going back to thinking about ourselves.
You're right.
When you are willing to cry with another, you've stopped thinking about yourself.
Good point.
And that, again, like you said, that's a hard thing, but it is an important part of the process of dealing with great loss. And we're talking about, folks, we're talking about loss. We're talking about the loss of a spouse, loss about a parent, a child, your own experience, loss of a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
These are very deep losses. Going back to that article, Jonathan, we started with Coping with Death by Scott Mays. Let's just read a couple of other quick points here, and then we'll talk about them after the break.
Talk about your loved one. There's no lonelier feeling than the one in the pit of your stomach about a month after the funeral. It seems like the loved one is still very much in your life, tugging at your heartstrings daily. But it also seems like the rest of the world has gone on with the daily routine. Find someone, a dear friend, who is comfortable with the conversation and talk about that person. It's a necessary part of the grieving process. You want everyone to know the quirks of dear old dad, and it's really more for you than it is for them.
All right, so here with this particular point, to talk about the one that you lost is important, to remember the good things, and not just to remember them, but to take those good things and to bring them out and to share them with someone else and to, the joy of saying, hey, did you know this about them? Let me tell you this. This was really cute the way they used to do this. Talk about them because you can enter into their lives again.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions. How do we cope with personal loss? Stay tuned.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Our subject this morning, how do we cope with personal loss? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Our website reminder, christianquestions.net.
And folks, we'd love to hear from you if you have some experience with loss, with coping, with difficulty, with depression, with all of these things, because these are all part of the process. And what we want to do is put these things on the table and talk about them and see if we can find ways, especially to be good friends, to be good supporters of those who suffer loss, because it's not always us, but more often it's somebody you know.
Good point.
And so we were talking about your loved one. The first point was to cry for your loss. The second point was to talk about your loved one and to share the quirks, the things about them that just bring you joy to think about.
And we find that it's good therapy for us to talk about them.
It absolutely is, and it's such an important thing because oftentimes those things are things that are never known by other people.
Good point.
And it gives a rounded understanding of that individual's character. What's the next point from this article entitled Coping with Death?
Honor the memory of the deceased. The dates on the calendar are tough. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. They all hurt, especially the first time around. Especially during the first year, find a way to make them or their memory part of those special days. Eat at their favorite restaurant. Buy a gift for a family member in their honor. Do something that sparks an old memory.
So, Jonathan, this one means a lot to me, to honor the memory of the deceased. Honor their memory. Don't be afraid to go back and look at their life and see the goodness in their life and to recall it on a regular basis. And if you recall, last year, or around this time, as a matter of fact, next week, I lost my grandmother.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people lose a grandparent, and I've lost grandparents. My grandmother, Helen, was a very, very integral part of our family. And you know that you've been to my house. You know, we have the big Sunday dinner.
Huge table.
Right, with all the family every Sunday that everybody's in town. And Graham was a big, big part of getting that started, she and her mother. And this has just been a generational thing. And she was just the glue that held our family together. And her loss was very, very difficult because of her amazing character. And one of the things that we do to honor her memory is at our Sunday dinner, before we start, one of the things that she would do when we were kids is, and she has done this, again, for generations. This is not just for myself and my brother and sisters. But one of the things she would sing to you is, "You are my sunshine." Mm-hmm. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray." So you'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Sorry, I can't help it. Please don't take my sunshine away. She would sing that to us. So every Sunday before we pray, before our meal, the family sings it. And it just reminds us all. It honors the memory of somebody very, very special. And, you know, there's still some of the family members who can't get through the song yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something to do that puts it in perspective. And see, that's the key. And that way you look back and, you know, sometimes you feel like crying, but you have that good feeling of remembering the goodness of that person that's gone. So honoring the memory of the deceased is such an important thing. So this part of this, before we go further with scriptures, let's take a minute and let's look at the goodness of life. And let's do that through music. This is What a Wonderful World. And I think it's just so appropriate to do this now.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a wonderful world, Louis Armstrong. And Jonathan, that just makes me smile. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about giving honor to those who have passed. And again, this program was provoked because of the loss of George, Walter, Art, Paula, and Kim. All very, very special people, especially to their families. Let's go to one scripture in terms of what can we do to help by giving support. Then we'll go to the phones.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
And this is a great way to give support, is to think about those good things, those honorable and just and true things, and lend support by going and using them as a method for building up those who are grieving.
Let's talk with Julius from Groton, Connecticut. Good morning, Julius.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for such a timely topic.
You're welcome.
Indeed. What a timely thing. Yeah. One of the things that we could say about these issues, particularly from the Christian's point of view, is one of the things that comes to mind is life is a test. And additionally, for folks like you and my and others that read the Word and appreciate and comforted by it, we can say, indeed, what a challenge it is to comfort, you know, anyone who's mourning like that. And I love that Isaiah scripture you referred to, Isaiah 61, that is so appropriate.
And we'll be getting back to that later on.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like your other point you made, cry with them. I think that's so important, so essential, so effective. And number three is a saying that nothing is to be feared, that is, nothing is to be feared, but to be understood. Again, that's from the script of the Christian's point of view. Number four, the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter the first letter, chapter 4, verses 11, 12, thereabouts, he says, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. And with this hope, we comfort others. And finally, there's a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. And you recall one of the things that the Apostle says in there is that, if there is no resurrection, then of all people, we are the most miserable. But thank God that there is a resurrection. We will see our dear ones again, not with cancer, not in sickness, not in weakness, but in health and strength. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, Joyce.
Good day.
Sounded like he was ready to give a whole dissertation there. He had his points all lined up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that that Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 scripture, we suffer not as others. Because, and it ties in with what Randall said earlier, because there's hope. And even in the face of dark difficulty, there's definitely hope out in front. So, folks, we're talking about the loss of a loved one. We're talking about coping with such difficulties. We'd love to hear from you as to your personal experiences, some things that have been difficult or some things that have been helpful, something a friend has done or something you've been able to do as a friend. It's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, which means we're on right now. And some of your experiences could be very, very helpful to those who are at this moment suffering through the loss and the grief of losing a loved one. So, Jonathan, we're talking about your loved one, honoring the memory of that person who's passed away. Another thing we can do is just simply offer them kindness. It's a simple thing. You know, we won't read this whole scripture, but Matthew 25, 35 to 40, Jesus starts out, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And, of course, they didn't do that for him, did they?
No.
And Jesus wraps that thought up in the end of verse 40.
"Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me."
And I think that's a powerful kindness that we can offer, and that fulfills some of that spiritual responsibility that Julius was even talking about.
That's right.
Because by going out of our way, and that's, folks, that's really what it is. It's going out of our way to support another. It's never convenient. Did you ever notice that funerals and wakes are never at convenient times?
You're right.
And dealing with such an experience is never a convenient thing. Yet, it's something that we must be willing to go out of our way for so that we can help. Be kind to those. Those are some of the important things.
About compassion.
Compassion is a big, big thing, isn't it?
It is. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd."
So here you have them, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And what did Jesus do? He took his time and his energy, and he had compassion on them. And they were suffering. Now, not particularly with death here.
It wasn't convenient for him.
No. You know what? Jesus' ministry was never convenient for him. Ever. And yet, it was the most important thing. So, he showed compassion. And that's such an important part of this process. One more scripture on this.
1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. "Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing."
I love the way the scripture begins. "Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind." Those are the ways that we can begin to show our compassion, by having that unity of spirit. When you know somebody who has lost a loved one, and perhaps you haven't agreed with them upon it on everything, shouldn't you be able to just step over the things you've disagreed upon and enter into their grief?
Absolutely.
Because that's the unity of spirit. It doesn't mean that we're always doing everything exactly and we're in agreement on every point of life, but there's this unity of spirit that is expressed through compassion. And compassion, true heartfelt compassion, is one of those things that can really lift up somebody who's trying to cope with something so devastating as the loss of a loved one. Jonathan, let's just quickly read the next point to get it on the table for the next hour. Allow time to heal.
Let's wait.
Folks, we're talking about coping with personal loss, coping with the loss of a loved one. We've mentioned a number of people that we know have passed away recently, and that provoked us to do this program. And we're looking at things like cry for your loss, talk about your loved one, honor the memory of the deceased, and allow for time to heal. We'll get more into this in the second hour. But until then, for Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. How do you cope with the loss of someone you love? We'll be back after the news and all that. But until then, coping with personal loss. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Yogi Berra once said, "You'll never leave where you are until you decide where you'd rather be." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. We are here to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking, meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing from you. And Jonathan, what is it we are discussing this morning? Kind of a tough one this morning.
Yes, it is, Rick. Our question is, how do we cope with personal loss? And our theme text is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
And we're talking about the loss of a loved one, and what do you do, and how do you cope with it? And we've covered some significant ground thus far. We'll recap it in a moment. First, though, Jonathan, let's go over some things that our listeners need to know.
All right. Our listeners can check us out on our website. That's christianquestions.net. And if you're listening live on the net, be aware there is a short delay. There are many archive programs you can listen to. And if you have any questions or comments, that's the best way to get in touch. Again, that's christianquestions.net. And also available at our website, Christian Questions or CQ Rewind. Have you heard of a recent program that you really liked, or for that matter, didn't like? Would you like to actually see the scriptures and the reasoning that linked those scriptures together? Now you can. It's called CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first, the summary version, includes excerpts from the program's transcript and scriptural citations available on our website as a free download. And secondly, the full edition, available by email, sign up only, includes comprehensive excerpts from the program's transcript and fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations, also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them both out at christianquestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program, now see it as well.
And Jonathan, this week's program is an ideal program to get the Rewind for, because it's sort of, the object here is to lay some groundwork for the kinds of things that we can do to be constructively helpful to others who are dealing with very, very difficult personal loss and tragedy. And also when we go through it ourselves as well. So in the first hour, we'll do a recap and then we'll go to the phones. In the first hour, we're talking about how, first of all, the fact that mourning is something that is appropriate and is important. And we looked at some scriptures that gave us that. We looked at,
it's important to cry.
Right, it is. It's important to cry. We are focusing on an article, taking it apart, so to speak, called Coping with Death, How to Handle the Death of a Loved One and Move Forward by Scott Mays. And the first point in that article was cry for your loss. And we were talking about crying and how important it is. And for those of us who have not experienced the loss personally, to be able to enter into those tears. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing to be ashamed. It's manly to cry.
Yes, it is.
At times like this. It really is. The second point was to talk about your loved one. And the third point was to honor the memory of the deceased. Those two kind of go together. To be able to just bring those things out and to put them on the table so you can smile through the tears as you talk about them, and you can remember the wonderful things and do things that continually remind you of their goodness. Those are appropriate things to do in our lives. The next point was to allow for time to heal, which we just sort of mentioned but didn't get into yet. Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
And we have Judith from Westbrook, Connecticut. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting so long.
I just wanted to go ahead and to tell you that I'm very grateful for you mentioning the fact of being able to cry. We need to have those tears for the loss of our loved ones. It's a cleansing process. And I know that in 1987, I lost my daughter, and I still cry. It's okay, but at the same time, I rejoice in the memories of the different things that she did and the funny things that she did. And I can tell you the first year was the hardest, because sometimes I would go ahead and I'd see someone with long hair and the way that she dressed, and I'd see them from the back of them, and I would have to shake myself and say, oh, that's not her. And it's really quite difficult. But with God's help and through the Bible, the different scriptures and the different ones that have mourned, I'm very grateful being able to read, being able to hold on to them, and also the brethren, people that are willing to just be quiet and to go ahead to allow you to talk, to allow you to cry, and allow, you know, and to hug you, and all these different things that different people gave to me. I went back to work because I was very badly injured, and when I was able to work at the convalescent hospital, they heard about, different ones heard about my loss and the different things that I had done, and they would look for me. And if I was on the floor and I knew someone had died, I would be able to go up to them and they would let me hug them and love them back. And it's been a hard experience, but it's also been a wonderful experience to be able to share. And I'm very grateful, and I hope that this is a help. Also, I plant daffodils every fall, and I have daffodils, and sometimes I count them, and sometimes I have over 100 of them. But I try to find a place where the animals don't eat them, and I kind of laugh at that. Well, okay, can't do that, but they must have had a good meal. And I think of my Stephanie, because she helped me to plant a flower garden before this had happened. I love you all, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Judith.
Well, Jonathan, what do you say after that?
What a testimony.
And, you know, she says, I hope this helps. I mean, you see the magnitude of her personal experience. Now, 23 years ago, she lost her daughter, and she still cries sometimes. But you can see how the healing has taken place, and she's replaced the grief with positive actions.
And honoring every year,
right,
by planting flowers.
And that's such a wonderful thing to do, and it helps to cope with such difficult loss. Judith, thanks so much for sharing. And you helped countless people who have to inevitably deal with such a difficult thing. Folks, if you have a thought or an experience or a question on grieving and coping with personal loss, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. So, Jonathan, let's get back to allow for time to heal. I asked you to read, but we got interrupted by the end of the program. Nerve of the hour going by like that.
The frown won't change in a second. It will take time. At first, when you remember your loved one, it's going to hurt. Honoring them will help, because it will help you feel like the memory is alive, even when the person is not.
Just like what Judith was saying.
At some later date, you will remember them with a smile and a fond memory. That happens at a different time for everyone. Your time will come, but don't try to rush it.
So here, again, the question, what can we do, what can we give to help those who need the time to heal? Jonathan, I just want to share this real quickly before we go to the phone. One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard regarding helping those who grieve was, and I'm going to sort of paraphrase it to the best of my recollection, don't say, and this is something that everybody says, and I am absolutely guilty of this, listen, you know, you go to that grieving person, you say, if there's anything I can do, just let me know. And you know, we say that with all sincerity, don't we?
We do.
Well, have they ever let you know?
No.
They don't, do they? Because they're in the middle of it. Rather than saying that, why not say something like, I'd like to be able to help you with something that you know specifically you can be a help to them with. Mm-hmm. So you give them a suggestion and you tell them, look, I'm available immediately or over the next few weeks. Which is better? And that way, what you do is you find what you think might be in need. You tell them you're available and say, when would you like me to help? Now or later? And that puts you in a position to actually be as good as your word.
And actually help.
Right. What a wonderful thing that is. So sort of, folks, think about that. Being specific in our desire to help rather than just being general. Why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Larry from Preston, Connecticut. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well.
Good.
Good. Excellent topic. I'll tell you an experience I had a number of years ago. I believe I had a life afterlife experience, and it was more difficult to come back than to stay where I was. And ever since that time, I mourn the separation, but not the destination of a person. You know, and what that destination is, of course, is in our hands. And we know that Christ, you know, he basically, you know, he conquered death. He raised the little boy in the funeral parade. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. He told the good thief at the crucifixion in the last moments of the life of that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Christ is the resurrection and the life. And, you know, what I try to do is when I reach out to help someone that is in suffering and they're mourning and they have every right to, I think that I try to just say, you know, sometimes a load is too heavy for us, but if, you know, one person can't carry it, but two can carry it a lot easier, and even three or more. And when we have Jesus Christ helping us to carry it, and, you know, just believe. I have no reason to lie to anyone. Just believe. Have faith. And if you can't feel like you can feel that faith at that very difficult, painful moment, ask Christ for the faith. He always responds to that. He's compassionate and mercy. And with that, I thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your kindness.
And one of the things he said at the beginning, mourn for the separation, not the destination. And I think that's important, and we're going to get into that at the end of the hour, and our perspective on the grand destination for all of those who die because of the ransom of Jesus Christ. And he also talked about sometimes the load is too heavy to carry. And so what do? You need help. And you look for your faith in Jesus. But you also, especially for those of us who are connected, especially through Christianity, there are ways to help to bear that load up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:20-26.
But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. On these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. And there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
And so what that does is that puts us in a perspective of mutually supporting one another, mutually helping one another, holding one another up. And it says we are a body. And, you know, if your foot, if your left foot is been injured, you don't walk on it.
You're right.
And your right leg picks up the load, and even if it's difficult, it does it. And that's the bearing of the burden one to another that is so important here. So in dealing with the loss of a loved one, sometimes, all the time, there's needed time to heal. And in that time, we can be so helpful in helping to build up and hold those people up.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Our subject this morning, how do we cope with personal loss? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL.
And Jonathan, we've been talking about allowing for time to heal. We're going to reference but won't quote Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And just read the first couple of verses here.
For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted.
And it goes on, so forth and so on. And obviously everybody remembers the song, to everything, turn, turn, turn. And the point here is the time for healing needs to come after the time of mourning. Mourning is the beginning of the healing process, and it's such an important thing to remember to allow people to go through their pain, because the pain is necessary in order for us to be able to move forward. Jonathan, let's go back to the phones.
All right. We have Esther from Columbus, Indiana. Good morning, Esther.
Good morning. I so appreciate the program today. Yes, we have lost members in our family and dear friends too, that if it weren't for the scriptures, I don't know how we'd be able to cope really. I'm thinking of 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14, if I may read it.
Sure.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And, of course, it isn't only the scriptures, but I come from a background of foreign extraction. And so, needless to say, my parents that had the foreign accent in their words and so forth, it turns out that members of our family, as we think of our my folks, and we sometimes come out saying words that have a little funny ending to them, or have a remembrance of how my parents used to say things, and it makes us chuckle, and it makes us remember them in sweet memories. And I also wanted to say I so appreciated dear old Satchmo's song that you sang, that you had played today. It did bring back memories, and God bless you for your program. We thank you.
Well, thank you, Esther.
And see, she brought up another very important, very vital part, and that is even recalling the accent with which her parents spoke,
or the special words they used.
Just brings that chuckle and brings them back to the forefront of your mind. And folks, that's a good thing. And Esther, thanks so much. And she again echoed what so many of the callers have echoed thus far. She finds her hope in the scriptures. And to be able to deal with grief, you have to find hope. And we're going to actually spend the entire last segment of the program looking at scriptural hope, looking forward. But Esther, thanks so much. We really appreciate your taking the time to participate and give us that practical little example of the healing process, even perhaps many years later, still in place. So we've talked about crying for your loss. We've talked about what was the next one? I know, talk about your loved one, honoring the memory of the deceased, allowing for time to heal. Last point here from this article, think about their wishes. Small paragraph, Jonathan.
What would they want you to do? They probably wouldn't want you sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. This will be hard in the beginning, but as time begins to heal, think of ways to live your life that will honor the loved one, being the best you can be, knowing that they are counting on you to do that. What will help? You can go on with your life and bring them with you. That's what they'd want you to do.
And that's the key. You can go on with your life and bring them with you. You've got your memory. You've got your mind. You know, many of us have pictures or things that they made or things that they did. Judith was talking about planting daffodils. That was something her daughter used to help her do. So each year she does that, and she smiles at the memory of her daughter reflected through the plants. It's a simple process, and it is one of those great healing processes, and thinking about what they would want you to do.
Also, I was thinking of something else. Fulfill their last requests. Don't say, no, I don't want to do their funeral service or their memorial their way. I'm going to do it my way. I mean, guilt will set in over time when you say, I shouldn't have done it my way. They wanted this done. I should do that.
Right. And such an important thing. So thinking about the wishes, and for those who have passed on, they don't want you to sit around and be sad for the rest of your life. And again, we're remembering specifically the loss of some old soldiers of the cross in George and Walter. We're remembering the memory of Art, a kind and gentle man who had a dramatic influence on those around him through his gentleness. We're remembering the loss of a daughter, Kim, who suffered through some difficulties, and very specifically Paula Ashley, who was a mom, had two young daughters, and left behind her daughters and her spouse. Just one point on Paula, because I kind of grew up with Paula. Now, she lived in Ohio, but she and I grew up sort of close together, meeting through Bible study and so forth. She wrote a children's book called Have You Ever Been Hugged by a Spider? Have You Ever Been Hugged by a Spider, by Paula Ashley. It's available on Amazon.com. Some of the proceeds are going to fight pancreatic cancer. Some of the proceeds are going to help to support her family. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. You can get it at Amazon.com. Am I hawking her book? You betcha. It's a wonderful children's book. Have You Ever Been Hugged by a Spider? And it's actually the recounting of a day that she had with her family. And it's a wonderful book. Check it out on Amazon.com. And think of Paula Ashley. She is the author who just recently passed away. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sister in Christ. So, Jonathan, all of those things being said, we can pass courage on to others around us that are suffering.
Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is like to have little. I know what it is like to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
So there is the apostle showing us courage. In Romans 8, 35 to 39, it talks about not being separated from the love of Christ. We can bring that to those who are grieving, and we can hand it to them and help them to cope as well. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. We're talking about coping with personal loss. We're talking about it from a standpoint of having that experience yourself, and from the standpoint as well of wanting to reach out and hold up those who are having such difficulties and such trials.
We can also give those that need it hope.
And we were really talking about that. A lot of the callers were talking about scriptural hope, which we'll be getting into much more in a few minutes.
Psalms 31, 22 through 24. And I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord.
And that's a wonderful scripture, because sometimes in the difficulty, we feel like we're driven far from the sight of God. That's how we feel. Now, are we?
No.
But that's how we feel. And whether it's real or not really doesn't matter. If that's how you feel, that's where you live. And yet in this scripture it's saying, but the reality is you heard, God, you heard my supplications when I cried out for help. And then it says, verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Do you ever notice how many times the scriptures talk about waiting for the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think, well, how come he's not on time? Well, and the answer is, he is.
You're not.
Right. That's the point. The answer is, he is. always on time. But that waiting gives us the anticipation and the necessary longing for the comfort that we get through the hope of the Scriptures. So, Jonathan, as we continue, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
So here's the process that we're talking about from a scriptural standpoint. Suffering produces endurance. And when you lose a loved one, there is absolutely suffering.
Mm-hmm.
If you are rightly exercised by that suffering, it produces endurance. You know, there's a saying that says, time heals all wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily true. Time well used heals all wounds.
I like that.
And so if our suffering can produce endurance, and that endurance in turn produces character, and that character produces hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint us because it's hope in God.
Right.
And it reminds me of what Judith said earlier in the program, how after her loss, when she was working, when others would suffer loss, they would look for her because the endurance and the hope were firm in her. And she was able to give those things to others because she had been through it already. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we are on right now. If you have experiences regarding coping with personal loss, little tidbits of information that are so valuable, like Esther gave us about the accent, just a simple little thing. We'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. That's toll free. Jonathan, there's another article that we want to touch on very, very briefly in this segment. It's called A Forgotten Factor in Coping with the Death of Your Loved One by Lou LeGrand. And it's from www.extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. And again, you can see this more fully, more easily, read it in your leisure if you get CQ Rewind. Let's go through just a few of the points here quickly here.
No one is immune from the sad experience of grieving the death of a loved one. Acceptance means saying an intellectual, but more importantly, an emotional yes to this major change in our lives.
So this forgotten factor is acceptance, and we're reading only portions of the article.
Acceptance only comes through the concerned efforts of the person who is mourning. Contrary to an old piece of misinformation, time does not heal all wounds unless the mourner does his or her grief work. Or as a mother once said to me after the death of her 17-year-old son in a car accident, time doesn't heal unless you work between the minutes.
That's interesting. And let's go down to point number one here. We'll read some of these points before the break.
Talk to yourself every day and night that you will get through this dark, soul-searching experience. What you say to yourself not only affects every cell in your body, for good or for bad, but it will heavily affect the much-needed action that only you can initiate.
The next point, although essential, positive self-talk alone is not a panacea. You must start engineering small successes in order to realize that you can adapt to this major life change.
Number three, recognize how far you have come. When you review your day, give yourself credit for where you are in your journey. If it has only been a month or several months, note that you are still going and will continue to persist. Every day, tell yourself you will keep at it and know that things will change for the better.
The next point, examine why you are where you are in your grief work. It's interesting that he calls it grief work.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like that.
The point is you've got to work through it, but don't cheat the grief,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
don't stay there either. So again, this next point, examine where you are in your grief work. What skills have you used or what hidden talent have you uncovered that you didn't realize you had? Sometimes this has gotten you this far.
Next point, start and end each day with a gratitude memory. This will be especially useful when you feel that downward spiral and anxiety over your loss starts to creep in.
I like that point. Start and end each day with a gratitude memory. And that's the thing. We can experience the grief and the pain of the loss, but the gratitude is something that's so important. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. That's toll-free, 866-985-4-ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, which means we're on right now. We're talking about coping with personal loss. We'd love to hear from you in terms of your personal experiences in dealing with the grief and the heartache of loss. What have you done? What have you seen that can help overcome the difficulty?
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Our subject this morning, how do we cope with personal loss? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4-ALL.
And Jonathan, we have gone through a series of thoughts and points on grief and loss and mourning and crying and acceptance and just putting it all in order. Now let's take the rest of the program and now begin to focus forward. A number of the callers have alluded to finding their hope in the Scriptures. Well, what is it that the Scriptures say that is so hopeful? I mean, death is death, right? Yes, it is. But there's more to the story. Let's reread our theme text, and then let's go back to that Isaiah scripture.
Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
If you look at that particular mourning and that comforting, it's not just the comfort of the moment that Jesus was alluding to there. And we can get that through that Isaiah 61:1-4. Just in the interest of time, just start at the end of verse 2 and read to the end of verse 4.
To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations.
There's a number of things in there, Jonathan, that is all very good news. That's very hopeful. First of all, comfort those who are mourning, particularly of a particular religion, right?
No, all
it
who
says,
mourn.
To comfort all who mourn. And I think there's a great significance in the all. And that's why in our phone number it's 866-985-4255, 866-985-4-ALL, A-L-L, which translates on the number dial to 255. All who mourn, comforting all who mourn. The next point in that scripture is replace the ashes on one's head of sorrow with a garland. And a garland was a beautiful ornament for the head. Remember in the Old Testament, especially when there was mourning, they would sprinkle ashes upon their head.
That's right.
To show the grief. And it's saying there's going to be a replacement of those ashes of grief. Instead of adorning your head with ashes, you now adorn your head with a beautiful ornament that shows beauty and honor.
The next point, replace the pain of mourning with the soothing oil of gladness.
Mourning is like a dry ground. And you ever have chapped lips?
Mm-hmm.
Not comfortable?
No.
But you put that oil on them and it soothes. The soothing oil of gladness will replace the mourning, the dry mourning, so to speak. And the last point.
Replace the faint and heavy spirit with a mantle of praise.
So you're wearing this faint and heavy spirit, and it's bringing you down, and it's weighing you down, and you're not able to cope. And yet it's saying, after that comes the mantle. You're going to put on praise. You're going to cover yourself over with this mantle of praise. What does it mean? It means that the ultimate comfort, the ultimate hope, and the ultimate acceptance lies in the promises of God. These promises, as we shall see, include a resurrection of all men. And that's something that's very, very specific in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. We're going to get to the Old Testament in a few minutes. Let's start with a couple of New Testament scriptures that tell us, almost as a matter of fact, that yes, we know there's a resurrection.
John 11:21-25. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live."
So Martha is mourning over the loss of her brother Lazarus. And she says to Jesus when he arrives, one thing that really jumps out, and it's the part that I don't think we comment on enough. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
That's the day of judgment.
So she says, "I know there's a resurrection." But she also says to Jesus, "But I know that anything you ask of God, he'll give you."
Right.
So, but the point is, she knows. She knows. She expressed great faith in this resurrection. Luke 2:10.
"And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people."
So it's not to just a few. It is to all people. Colossians 1:18-20. Jonathan, just read verse 20 in the interest of time.
"Through him," that means Jesus, "God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross."
Okay, so you have through Jesus and his cross, there was a reconciliation to God, and that provides the ability to to focus on the bigger picture. And see, that's the key. When we experience the difficulty of mourning, what we do is we lose sometimes the big picture. And this scripture is telling us, focus on the big picture. And again, that big picture is shown in 1 Corinthians 15:20-22.
"But in fact, Christ had been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive."
So again, a big picture scripture that is showing us the importance of putting things together and making sure that we see the bigger hope. It's not just the hope of getting through today and tomorrow and the next day and the next year. This is talking about a hope that is much bigger, much grander than that. This is an eternal hope. Another New Testament scripture, 1 Timothy 2:3-4.
"For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth."
And I think this is an important scripture. And actually, read the next one too, 1 Timothy 2:5-6, the next two verses.
"For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time."
And when it says God will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, that means a full discernment of the truth. It talks about a ransom for all. That means a complete corresponding price for all. There is a comprehensiveness to these scriptures that is not just limited to just a few. It is a comprehensiveness that includes everyone.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Sophie from Old Lyme, Connecticut. Good morning, Sophie.
Hi, good morning. I'm on my cell phone. I'm on my way to church, and I heard this. This is the first time I've ever heard your program, so it just spoke to my heart this morning because I had a tragic loss in 2003. I lost a brother in, he was a scalloper out of New Bedford, Mass, and the boat sank on December 13th. And so it was a very tragic, hard time for our family. I don't know if you want to ask me any questions or if you just want me to.
Well, no, just give us your thought on well, how did you cope with that? What were the things that helped you to deal with such a tragic loss?
Well, the first thing that helped me was the night that it happened, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up from a deep sleep I have two stepbrothers, and Stephen is the one who was lost, and I was dreaming of my stepbrothers, and I woke up, and I felt like a command on my heart, and I felt the Lord say, pray for your stepfamily. So I prayed for my stepfamily. I didn't know why, you know, I just thought, hey, sometimes I wake up in the night, the Lord tells me to pray for something, and I did. And the next morning was Sunday, and my phone rang about 6:30 in the morning. At 6:30 in the morning, you know, it's not too good when you get a call that early. And my mom was on the phone, and she said, you know, something very horrible happened last night, that the boat that Stephen was on, the Atlanta, it went down. And they haven't found Stephen. You know, so in the next 3 days, to sum it up, were just a blur. There was a life raft that went out. There were five men that made it to the life raft. One man perished in the life raft. The captain did not make it to the life raft, and my brother did not make it. And then there were some of the stories after from the men who survived. They said that they saw Stephen in the water, and he was yelling out, and those things added to my grief. For those 3 days, I just kept thinking of the pain and the death. Was it cold? Did he suffer?
Mm.
And it was so trying on my heart. And I asked God if he could, well, I went into my bathroom, and I was so cold because, you know, December 13th, the ocean is freezing. And I turned on hot water, and I just thought I would soak in the bathtub to warm up. And as I was in the bathtub, this was my lowest point, the very lowest point in my grief. And I said, I pulled the scripture to my head because I knew that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I did not feel the comfort right then. I just felt despair. And I said, I yelled out passionately. I said, Lord, I said, you said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I do not feel that right now. I said, I cannot take this. I can't take this anymore. I need your help in this. I can't do it alone. And I shut my eyes in that tub, and at that very moment, I saw my brother Steve. I saw the ocean, and I wish I did drew a drawing of this, but I can't draw it like I saw it. It was beautiful. And I saw Jesus reach down, grab my hand of my brother, where previously I keep seeing Stephen's hand miss the life raft, but this time I saw Jesus' hand reach down, grab my brother, and just pull him up out of the water. I saw them. I saw no fear in Stephen. I saw just a beautiful warmth all around them. And then it was
right,
the peace.
Sophie, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're running out of time here.
Yes.
So I apologize, but we're going to let you go.
No, that's okay. I understand.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your calling in.
Thank you.
And I really hated to stop the story. But again, the grief and the difficulty is something that's so hard for us to deal with. And we're going to be ending with a song, and it's going to be starting in a moment, because there's great joy in this song. In Jeremiah 31:34, do you have that one, Jonathan?
Yes, I do. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest.
That says every man will know God, from the least to the greatest. Every man. And this makes us want to sing with our lives. And that's why we're ending with this particular piece of music. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. How do we cope with personal loss and the grief? We cling to hope. We reach out our hands to one another. And then when we find the hope of the scriptures, how can we keep from singing?
Far off here that hails a new creation through all the tumult and the strife. I hear the music ring, it finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart. A fountain never springs. All things are mine since I How can I keep from singing? Since Christ is Lord,
since Christ is Lord
of heaven and earth,
of heaven and earth,
how can I keep?